This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop back supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at
Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge.
Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast. My name is Tiagi Delanwal, and I'm going to be your host today. I'm joined by DJ Campbell, VP and Chief HR Officer at Sanford Health. We'll be speaking about transforming workforce development in healthcare. Now, DJ is a seasoned healthcare executive and transformational leader specializing in people strategy. As VP and Chief HR Officer of Sanford Health, DJ oversees 3,800 members within his team at Bismarck Market while contributing to an enterprise-wide strategy for the organization's 50,000 employees. With a focus on workforce development, employee experience, and organizational effectiveness, DJ plays a pivotal role in driving change and fostering a culture of excellence at Sanford Health. Now, beyond his professional responsibilities, DJ is deeply invested in the Bismarck Mandan community, serving on boards such as Make-A-Wish North Dakota, the North Dakota Workforce Development Council, and the State Board of Higher Education, an active member of SHRM as well, and the Society for Diversity. DJ exemplifies a commitment to advancing HR practices and creating an inclusive, dynamic workplace. Today, we delve into DJ's insights on shaping the future of healthcare workforces, driving impactful change, and creating environments where both employees and organizations can thrive. Welcome, DJ.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. Likewise, you know, here at the Employee Wellbeing Council, you know, we really pride ourselves on being human-centered in our approaches and having discussion topics around that. So we're going to right now center around you, and we're going to start off by asking you, which talent would you most like to have?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, so I'm married and I have two teenage children, and my entire family can sing very well. And I, unfortunately, am completely tone deaf. So I think if I could have a talent, I would think that I would go with the ability to carry a tune so that I could match the rest of my family.
You know, that's a good, number one, it's a good talent to have. And number two, yes, it'll make family time that much more enjoyable, right? Because then you can
join in.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next question is, everyone wants to know, if you were to die and come back as a person or a thing, what would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, so we have a cat in our house and she is a rescue. And so she went from living on the streets to like what I like to call the Ritz-Carlton here at the Campbell household. So if I could come back as anything, it would be as her, because she gets very well taken care of. She gets to sleep all day and has no care in the world whatsoever. And that seems like a really, it'd probably be boring after a while, but sometimes looking at it, I'm like, that might not be such a bad gig. So I'm going to go with her.
Oh my gosh. Well, you got to tell me, what's her name?
Her name is Roca.
Roca. Okay.
After a mountain range somewhere. I don't know how we came up with the name. So.
Well,
that's a cool
name. Roca sounds like she's a lovely cat. I used to be a cat mom of two, and I just adored my cats, and I'm with you, right? It would be nice to come back. That's that. All right. So let's get into your work history a little bit in terms of your experience. Now, leading HR for nearly 3,800 team members in the Bismarck market, what are some of the key strategies you've implemented to support workforce development and retention in healthcare?
You bet. So I think I'll start with the retention side. And I think our biggest and most successful strategy that we've had is really just implementing very basic listening strategies. And so that ranges from utilization of technology with our annual employee experience survey to not only doing that, but then also kind of having that frontline approach where we're going out and we're in healthcare, we use the term rounding. I think if anybody's seen Grey's Anatomy, they assume that's a doctor going rounding on their patients. But we use that in all areas in healthcare. And so going out and rounding on employees and talking with them so that they feel heard and we're getting the right feedback that we need to help make decisions. I'm lucky that I work with a group of individuals here in Bismarck at an executive level that have committed to doing that. And so we go to team meetings. We're, of course, rounding in the medical center and the clinics that we support and really just trying to figure out what we need to do differently so that we can be the best employer that we can be.
That's all great. It sounds like you're being very proactive about trying to understand, right? And active listening.
100%. And I think, you know, oftentimes when we look at building strategies, they can become very complex and, very large and overarching, but sometimes you just need to take it down to that simple level. And we've seen great results from this. In our employee experience survey, which we launched 3 years ago, so we've had six of them, we've increased every single time. And so we know that, you know, this is the right strategy. It's just helping us figure out what our teams need and then making sure that we're implementing strategies to make sure that we're getting those things to them.
I love it. It really shows that they matter and you care. So there you go.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, employee experience is a cornerstone also of your work. How do you ensure team members feel supported, engaged, and valued, especially in high-pressured industry like healthcare?
Another great question. I think, again, going back to that listening, I think that's the first component of it. But I think one of the things that we've done specific on the well-being side, you know, when I started at Sanford Health, it was the middle of COVID and we were trying to, you know, there was a lot going on and every day was different. And I think everybody was stressed to the max. And what I learned in that time frame is that caregivers specifically have a really, really hard time of looking in the mirror and realizing that they need help too. And so we created a couple of videos from a clinical psychologist that worked for us, and it was called taking care. I forget what it was called, but it was something around taking care of the caregiver. And they were videos really designed to help our frontline staff understand what they were going through and that it's okay to ask for help. And it's okay to lean on, you know, that community of support, whether that's your family, whether that's your coworkers, whether that's your friends. And if it needs to go further than that, there's no shame in really, you know, elevating that to a higher level. And so those were really helpful in helping our team. I mean, at least in the infancy of kind of that well-being piece being implemented to help them understand what they were going through so that they knew that they were supported and that they had resources at their disposal.
That honestly, like, I think that that's, again, another way that you're showing that you're going above and beyond and you're really trying to immerse yourself into their lives and like what matters to them. So I really value that. I'm loving all the strategies, right? I feel like some of these strategies also could be applied in different industries. It's not just exclusive to healthcare, I don't think.
I 100% agree. I think that we're, you know, when you look across the different industries, it probably looks a little bit different because it's specific to your industry norm. But I think the overarching problem is something that we're all dealing with. And I think we could all learn from each other, regardless of the industry that you're in. Another example I can give you on the well-being side, if you
yes, absolutely.
Just to share with you is We actually have created, and I forget what the acronym stands for, but it's called Be Heard. And it is a class. It's about a half day class that we developed internally on how, for our employees specifically, on how they can recognize when people are going through some hard times and how they can provide resources, and they can support and add interventions to help that employee. And so we actually, not only did we launch that, it's a great course. I've actually taught it once or twice now. But we actually make all of our leaders go through it now. And we've actually implemented it in some school systems here in North Dakota as part of our foundation. And so really, really, I think it's been groundbreaking as we look to, you know, remove that stigma around well-being, mental health. But then also when you think about how we're going to affect, you know, mental health as a system or as a country, as a state, however you want to classify it, it's really being able to create that community. And I think that this course really begins to shape how we create community in the workplace around mental health.
I really love this. And I actually want to take this conversation actually offline with you, DJ, because I want to learn more about this course. I think that that's so great. So you said it's a half day course, right? And it's just like a few different modules, like in terms of the syllabus of the what the half day contains.
And you know, it's actually taught. So it's taught remotely, but it's not pre-taped or anything like that. So you have it's on there with you going through there so that you can ask questions and get answers. And I think they run classes, you know, 2 to 3 times a month that people can go in and join. So it's very easy to engage in it, but we also didn't want it to be like that compliance driven course that everybody has to take every year just to check the box. We wanted it to be an engaging experience for everybody so that they could learn from it.
That's also a really good takeaway, right? And insight, because it does penetrate differently in terms of how the knowledge is retained through that experience versus just taking a digital online course. Love it. Love all this. Keep them coming. Keep them while I have more questions for you.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, as a member of the Sanford Health's HR executive team, how do you align human capital strategy with organizational goals to drive long-term success?
When you look at what our big goals are here at Sanford, so whether that's quality of the healthcare that we're providing or providing access to rural America, people is at the center of everything that we do. When Bill Gaston, who's our Korean president and CEO, took over as the president and CEO, he had such a commitment to people and really wanted to refine and redefine what people meant to the organization. And so people are at the center of every single strategy that we put forth, not only in how we interact with the public and provide services, but also how we enhance that experience at an employee level. I'm a big believer that your customer, your patient satisfaction is never going to exceed your employee satisfaction. And so if you begin to implement those strategies to make sure that you're an employer of choice within any population that you're serving, that's going to translate to better customer or patient satisfaction if you're thinking about healthcare overall.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar to be frank, right? I'm not as familiar with all of the nuances that are required within healthcare, but I do appreciate that comment. Okay, so healthcare workers face significant stress and burnout, right? This is actually something that I've been really learning more and more about as I talk to different industries. Healthcare definitely comes up very much top in terms of burnout statistics. What initiatives have you found most effective in building resilience and fostering really a sense of well-being among your teams?
So a couple of things that I could point out here. I think first, having knowledge that your team is stressed and burnt out is probably the first piece that you have to address as an employer. Before you can begin to build strategy or look for solutions, you have to understand really what the problem is and how you're going to affect it. On our nursing side, here at Sanford, we have a very, very robust self-governance structure. And so we have a nursing senate where we are hearing directly from our frontline nurses that are representing the different units and hearing what they're going through and how we can build strategies around that. And I've already shared, you know, our Caring for the Caregiver videos and, of course, our Be Heard program. On top of that, through that self-governance structure, we've created what we call the Zen Den. So in our medical center, we have a room that is special to all of our frontline workers where they can go in and take a break. There's coloring books, there's massage chairs, lots of different programming that goes on there. Sometimes we have pet therapy animals. So it's really just a place for people to go and get away and not have to be, you know, not necessarily a trap, but continuing to work and not being able to get away and take a little bit time for themselves. The other pieces we stood up.
Can we just take a moment to talk about the pets that you have? Like that? Okay. What type of pets do you have in your therapy area?
So we have a company that that will bring them in from time to time, and they range from, I mean, most of them I think are dogs. We've had a couple goats, I think, at one point, because really little baby goats put a smile on everybody's face. So we don't have pets per se that work at the medical center. Actually, I do think that if you go to one of our different regions, they actually have a dog that is a staff member, but I think it's for security and not therapies.
But anyway, I digress
a little bit, but yes, absolutely. Everybody, pet therapies are always a hit. And I think anytime you can go in and see a super chill dog or a little baby goat, that's going to brighten your day no matter what you're going through.
I'm like obsessed with also like, you know, like little baby owls. Like, I don't know if you heard about these like miniature owls that you could, it's not advised to have them as pets, but all right, we digress. So your work extends into the Bismarck Mandan community. Now, how has your involvement with local boards and organizations influenced your approach to leadership and workforce strategy?
Yeah, so I have the opportunity and to sit on a number of boards, and I'll just talk about two right now today. So I sit on the North Dakota Workforce Development Council. So it's a governor appointed position. We're really looking at how we shape workforce in the years to come and building programming supports that. So whether that's creating scholarships at a statewide level for in-demand jobs or implementing apprenticeships where you just traditionally wouldn't see those, or even looking at international recruitment. North Dakota has a global talent workforce office now through the Department of Commerce. That's because of this Workforce Development Council that's bringing in, you know, people to the United States to help fill some of these in-demand jobs. So I think that, you know, being able to have that lens and advise on that has been really beneficial. The other board I sit on is the State Board of Higher Education. So that board governs the 11 higher education institutions in North Dakota. And so you're really looking at that from a lens of how we create workforce and implement change to help drive not only student success, but university success. So we're really meeting what the state needs on an economic level to be successful in the future. So I've really enjoyed my time and what I've learned. I mean, you learn everything on a board. I think anybody who has the opportunity to serve on a board and learn governance, strategic planning, budgeting, all of the things that you traditionally see in business, but you're learning a different business and how those pieces are done there. So there's tons of learning that you can take away from those opportunities.
That's really interesting that you sit on the boards and that you take such a curious approach, right? So that's what I'm taking away from you. Like, you're always open to opportunities, and it sounds like you also make time for things that are important to you and the community that you're in. So that's fantastic. Kudos to you, DJ. I really like that. Of course. Now, as a member of the Society for Diversity, how do you integrate DEI principles into Sanford Health's culture and ensure inclusivity across such a large organization?
So another really great question and a hot
it's a hot one.
Okay, for today's society. So I appreciate you asking the question. So I think first, let's talk a little bit about diversity. I think healthcare is a little bit of a, and I'm sure every industry feels this way, that they've got a unique niche that they're trying to fill. But we see diversity at all levels within the organization. So you talk about entry-level workers that are just getting in the door and starting, you know, their careers. That can be a very diverse workforce, but also in healthcare, you've got a lot of doctors. And so there's diversity everywhere that you look. And I think that healthcare is uniquely positioned to help integrate not only within our system, but also in the communities that we serve. As we've looked at this, it's a grassroots approach in the community that we serve. And so we have an internal diversity, equity, and inclusion council that really identifies and works to shape the programming and the principles that we're going to bring forward, not only at a at a city level, but also in a community level. And I think what that does is it's people grown, and it's coming right from the mouths of our employees. And so we have doctors on this council, we have nurses on this council, we have social workers, we have executives. There's about 20 plus people that are on it right now that are really leading how we're going to interact and what we're going to do in this space.
Wow. This is what I love, right, too, is the fact that there's such a diversity in terms of like the types of roles that are being represented. So, yeah, no, I like that. So, okay. So healthcare right now is rapidly evolving, as you know, right, especially with things like AI and all sorts of other technologies that are emerging within healthcare. What trends or innovations do you see shaping the future of workforce management in this sector?
I think some of the questions you've asked today, if I actually knew the real answers to them, I would probably be very wealthy. I wouldn't need to work anymore because they're tough questions. Maybe I should go back to that hidden talent and it should be able to be predicting the future, because that would probably be make me a little bit, you know, more money and give me a little bit more influence. I think if you asked me 5 years ago what I thought healthcare would look like, I wouldn't have imagined we were where we are today. And I think that to think that I can accurately predict what the next 5 to 10 years are going to look like, you know, I don't know that I know the answer to that. What I can tell you is technology will be part of whatever happens in the future. If you look at census data, the reality is that the young population, so the population between, you know, newborns to 18 years old is down in the United States. And so we are not going to have enough people to physically fill all the jobs that we have open. So technology is going to play a major role. And so I think when you look at AI, how that's going to interact in your business, I would encourage any business to begin to look at how that's going to affect your business model in the future, because it has to. Because there really is just not enough people. I think technology is at the forefront of that. I think the second piece of that is then how do we look at the skills within the current staff that we have? And if we have to do reskilling of any sort to make sure that we can meet those needs, you know, how are we going to do that? And how do we plan for that in the future? And I don't necessarily know that I know the answer to that, other than I know that that will be a trend in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I mean, just being in the technology vertical myself and in the startup world, I see so many different innovations emerging, right? Especially around like even predictive analytics that could help. I see a lot of like what I'm noticing specifically too from my vantage point is how much AI is coming in as almost like the triage element for healthcare. Mm-hmm. And then of course the subject matter experts providing the human in the loop, right? And providing that second opinion or third opinion that's oftentimes also required. So that's also good. So let's go back a little bit and think about your career, right? Like you've had such a long, amazing career. What leadership principles have guided your success? And what advice would you give emerging leaders in HR and healthcare?
Oh, another really great question. And so from a principal standpoint, I think I've always tried to be a person that is authentic. Because I think that if you're constantly being yourself and you're constantly trying to do the right thing, even though sometimes it might not always seem like it's the right thing at the time for people, I think that A, you can sleep at night. So that's helpful. But also I think that over time, even if you make the wrong decisions, people are going to be able to trust you. And trusted at the heart of any business is really the skill. And I say skill, but I don't know that it's necessarily a skill. I think the way you display trust is probably skill, but not trust itself. But I think that your ability to build trust with people quickly, effectively, and then not only talk about it, but your actions match the words that are coming out of your mouth, I think is probably... There's one guiding principle, and I'm not going to say that I've lived up to it every day and every decision and every interaction, but I think overall that's been what I've always tried to do as I've interacted with individuals, patients, community members, anybody that I have the opportunity to work for.
Yeah.
And for emerging leaders in HR and healthcare, I would tell you a skill that I'm not great at is listening. I'm an action taker. And so I think that if I could go back and maybe think through, you know, what I would tell those emerging leaders, it's to sit down, it's to listen, to maybe not formulate a response or a defense, but rather really seek to understand that person's perspective. Because whether you think it's right or wrong, their viewpoint has merit. And if you begin to look at everybody's viewpoint as having merit, you make much better decisions and you create much better trust.
Ah, what great advice, right? It'll also solve a lot of wars and bring about world peace. So I love
it. Definitely. Yeah. And don't just use it at work. You can use it in every relationship, especially in today's day and age.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the very last question, DJ, I have for you is, if you were to share one piece of wisdom with your younger self, what would it be?
Oh, this is probably the easiest question out of all you've given me today. I've just thought about it a lot over the years. And I think, so I have an 18-year-old son. And so watching him, you know, raising children is a phenomenal experience. And I think what I've learned is they're essentially little versions of you, at least until they get to a certain age. And not only do they have your strengths sometimes, but they also have your areas of opportunity. And I think in watching them grow up, I've learned a few things about myself that has been really instrumental on how I shape, you know, what the next years of my life look like. So if I could go back and tell my younger self one thing, it would be I'm an extremely driven person. And so as I've looked at career, it's always been climb the hill, check the box, and then go on to the next thing. And so it's this very long system of crossing off all these milestones. And I don't know, as I did that, so it's made me successful, at least, you know, I believe I'm successful. Others may disagree, but I do.
No, you are. Yes. Very successful.
I wish I would have enjoyed the journey much more, because I think I was so concerned about checking all the boxes and showing to myself and to everybody that I knew that I was worthy of, you know, being successful and getting all the things that I wanted to get in life, that I don't know that I always took the time to pause and really appreciate the journey that I was on. And so I look at the next years of my life as slowing down a little bit, and rather than trying to check every box, you're definitely always going to have some goals, like maybe learning to enjoy the journey as you're reaching those goals.
That's such great advice, because the thing is, we don't know if we're going to live for 10 days or 10 years or another 30 years, right? Like, so it's important. It's really important to like really see every day you wake up as a gift that you have, and to cherish that and to make the best of it, so that you can also touch others through your interactions, right? Because like, why not? Why not enjoy it?
Not agree more. Yes, you're 100% correct.
Yeah. Well, DJ, it has been an absolute pleasure getting to know you, learn about your strategies. Definitely some of the listeners, right, are going to probably take some of those strategies, right, and implement it themselves. So thanks for your time today.
You bet. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.